In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God continues to reveal the kingdom to us. If you were new to the Episcopal Church in the late 70s, you might not know that there was a time when we used a different prayer book. You might not remember a time when we did not have Holy Eucharist every Sunday. If you were new to the Episcopal Church in the 80s or later, you might not know that there was a time when women could not serve on the vestry and girls could not be acolytes. If you were new to the Episcopal Church in the late 80s, you might not know that there was a time when women could not be priests. When we moved to Maine, our youngest son was 3 1/2, and I was the rector of St. Mark's in Waterville. And I think when he was about 4 1/2, his preschool had a Mother's Day celebration that happened to be on a Wednesday. And we had a Wednesday Holy Eucharist and healing service at the church. So I asked our lovely retired priest, Father Baker, if he would do the service for me. And I told Hugh when I went to the Mother's Day celebration that I was able to come because Father Baker was doing the service. And Hugh said to me, "I didn't know that men could be priests." It's all from your point of view and experience. If you were new to the Episcopal Church in the last 10 years, you may not know that there was a time when a person's sexual orientation could bar them from ordination. One of the great strengths of the Episcopal Church is that we use all the gifts that God has given us when we interpret Scripture and when we critique our tradition. We use what is sometimes called the three-legged stool. Imagine a stool with three legs that keeps it level. Scripture, tradition, and reason. All of these very important. And reason includes all that we have been given, all the knowledge that we know, all anthropology and psychology and medicine and psychology, as I said, psychology. Psychology is important. And everything we know about our created world, we use all of that information as when we use reason. So we use reason and our tradition when we interpret Scripture. And we use Scripture and reason when we critique our tradition. So the Episcopal Church is able to change. We have changed a lot over time. And it is slow change because we also hold the tradition very important. But we have the capacity to change more than some other denominations. And we do that because God continues to reveal the kingdom. Did you know that there was a time in the early formation of the church when you had to be Jewish before you could be Christian? That is what we heard this morning in the lesson from Acts. The early church was struggling with this, and it was a huge, controversial problem. Because the early followers of Jesus thought at first that only Jewish people could become Christian. Or in other words, that it was a two-step process. You had to be Jewish before you could convert to Christianity. they were arguing about whether the converts to the faith had to follow all the Jewish practices, including circumcision and the cleanliness rules. The cleanliness codes, which marked things and people as either clean or unclean. It restricted diet and other daily practices. So an amazing thing began to happen. God started talking to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles means everyone in that time who was not Jewish, was considered Gentile. They had visions. They received the Holy Spirit and they were asking for baptism. And so Peter was in the midst of this controversy, one of the leaders of the church. His name, Rock, upon this rock I will found my church. Peter received a vision from God in a dream that turned his understanding of the rules upside down. Peter understood that God was doing a new thing, because God continues to reveal the kingdom. So in the dream, God's messenger told Peter, forget the distinctions of clean and unclean. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. So Peter broke bread with Gentiles and baptized those who wanted to follow the way. God gave Peter a vision of the wideness of God's mercy, widening the circle, and Peter and the church followed. God continues to reveal the kingdom. In the revelation to John, which we heard this morning, the one who is seated on the throne says, see, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. It is a process. And in the gospel today, it's a little weird to have a Last Supper passage in Easter season, but this is at the Last Supper, and Judas has just gone out, is about to betray Jesus. And Jesus gives farewell words to the disciples. He says, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and where I am going, you cannot come, because he was about to go to his death. And then he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, the church has tried and failed and tried and failed at this over the ages. It is difficult to live in community, particularly in times of controversy or conflict. It is difficult to act, to let God's love flow through you. And we fail much of the time. But everything in all of the scriptures could be reduced to this one sentence from the Gospel of John. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And when we are able to do this in little ways, and sometimes in big ways, even as we fail, when we are able to do this, people will see the love of God flowing through us. And we will be able to change the world. Amen.